All right. Happy Thursday.
Hey, Mike.
Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday.
Kicking us off.
I will.
Larry Allen? Go ahead.
Come.
Who is?
I'm Tom. I will.
Tom who?
Tom Dickey.
What's up? I know. What's going on?
Tom who? Well, got a contract finally.
Oh, yeah.
As you know.
I do.
I tried to call
What are the numbers?
What?
What are the numbers on it?
It's under contract for 40.
Okay. Rental or flip?
Rental, Section 8 tenants that have been there for at least 7 years. Then
at how much a month?
$750.
Nice. Okay.
And I'm gonna try to sell it to an investor for as a turnkey for $45.
Running some math. Okay, 14 cap.
14 cap.
Long-term tenant.
Pretty
and
new roof. A lot of stuff.
What's
really
that?
The roof's less than 5 years old. The furnace is less than 5 years old. The water heater's 3 years old.
Nice.
Well kept up. Hardwood floors that are in good shape, but are painted. But
yep. Painted hardwood. Brick house. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
You could strip it, but
yeah, a lot of work.
Yeah, the walls are in good shape. I mean, it
yep.
has a shower in the basement. There's no toilet in the basement, but there's a shower in the basement. It's unfinished, but there's also a washer dryer hookup and an door that goes down to it from the outside on the side of the
yeah.
house.
Huh. Just a side note, when Brad and Rob sell a quote-unquote certified turnkey rental, part of that is furnace less than 10 years old, hot water heater less than 5, roof less than 10, ideally. Roofs can, depending on the roof, they start to get a little bit beat at 15, but roof less than 10 is ideal. So anyway, those are really good things, Tom. You got a new roof?
Pretty much.
Sounds like
yeah.
the furnace and hot water heater in good condition. And a long-term tenant. That's killer.
Long-term tenant that's Section 8 and
yep.
She's 45 and has no intention of leaving. Her kids moved out and she's just staying there. She has no intention of leaving.
Yep.
So,
buying cash flow. Cool.
Yeah. It has off-street parking, fenced yard in the front, but it has a gate so that you can actually park your car inside that so that
nice.
You're off the street. I mean, it's really good, I think.
Yeah, I like it.
And yeah, so I tried to call the turnkey people that I had a conversation with, the woman that I had a conversation with wasn't there, so
yep.
she'll be there tomorrow, and hopefully we can talk about that. I was, like I was saying, I was talking to my friend about a different things that we were doing together, and he suggested we buy it together. So I haven't I haven't gone any further with that, but I need
yeah.
to get my bird dog out there and get some photos. And you know, I mean, I've got somebody living in there. I'm not real sure how we go about this. This is a little wrinkle that I
yeah well they
quite
they can
out.
Just let them in. So when you're talking to the seller, did you represent yourself as buyer or as a person who's going to assign it to one of your buyers? Which are you?
Either or.
So they know both. They know both plays.
Yeah, they say. You know,
I said,
I have some investors that are interested in it, and then I said I might actually be interested in it. I finally
yep.
got them to sign the thing. Just you know, a couple hours ago.
Yep.
Finally, as you know.
So they know that you're going to have to get people inside. It's tenant
yeah.
occupied, which means as long as the tenant knows, then it should be fairly simple. So owner needs to notify tenant, hey, got some people looking at this, thinking about selling, right? The intent, I mean, they can't guarantee the intent, right? This may come up with the tenant. Wait a minute, are they going to throw me out? Yada, yada, yada.
Right.
Because honestly, a new owner could do whatever they want to do because they now own the house.
Right.
But the existing owner could throw some – well, I guess let me ask you this. Are they on a month-to-month lease? I know it's Section 8, but is there anything – any long-term paperwork in place?
I didn't ask that.
It's probably – okay. No. It's most likely month-to-month. So, yeah, I mean, you just – they're going to have to notify the tenant, hey, this is what's going on, and we're going to need to set up a couple showings. We have to get some people inside.
Right.
So talk with the seller and tell them, you know, here's what needs to happen. I'm going to have to get, you know, not a ton, but a couple people inside for inspections. And, you know, just ask, have you done inspections in the past like this? Have you checked on the property annually? I mean, it sounds like they've done some work to it, so – yeah, you just have to figure it out. And, the seller, I know in your email, and I saw your email a little before the call, and I figured you'd jump on, so we just talked about it here. But the seller doesn't need to be there. So it's not like you're going to end up with buyer talking to seller about that stuff. The tenant can just let somebody in.
Right.
So there's really no need for the seller to show up. So.
If the seller might want to do that, I don't know.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
If I'm moving a house, that's just, you know, just tell them, say, hey, do you mind having a conversation with the buyer? And then just ask, say, are you good with me going directly to the tenant? So I'm not bugging you again. This, you know, we're not sending 20 people through this thing, but you know, a handful.
Right.
And then you can kind of monitor that and see what's going on. But let me ask this. I know you've talked to a couple of buyers. 14 cap is really strong, but there are landlord buyers who will take 10 and 12 as well in a scenario like this. House in decent shape, long-term tenant. I mean, a 12 cap buyer, which is still a great return, could pay 52.5 for this thing. So I like your $5,000 wholesale fee in 14 cap, but I'm just saying there's plenty of money out there that'll take less than 14. So now it starts to look really pretty at 52.5. Right.
Well, yeah, I know, but I don't know if the comps support that, because I mean, somebody's not going to want to buy a house above market rent. I mean,
yeah,
I mean,
it depends. That's a factor. Look into it. If you start at 12, you have room to come down though. So I'm just saying, look into it. Really depends. Yeah, some landlords will say, you know, I want this kind of return and I want equity in the house. Sometimes when the pockets get deeper, they're just buying the cash flow. They don't care. They know they're going to hold it long term. And value comes and goes. What's solid is a 7-year tenant at $750 a month.
Right.
Value is it's just like the value of a stock. It's perception. So long term landlord buyers, not everybody is there are different interest levels in what is the property currently worth. If I'm going to hold it for the next 12 years and I've got a long-term tenant, she's only 45, $750 a month, been there 7 years, and I've got a house in good shape, so what? I'm going to hold this thing for the next 10 to 15 years, and the market, the value, quote-unquote, is going to be all over the board.
Right.
So what? I'm buying the return, and what's stable is 7-year tenant, good house at $750 a month. So don't just assume that, oh, this pro, you know, Zillow says this property is only worth 40, and why would somebody pay me 52 for it? Value is different, right? Going to an antique shop, I don't think it's valuable because I don't want an old whatever typewriter. Somebody who collects old typewriters, valuable. Value is perception, right? And this can be the same thing. So I'm just saying, there's landlord money out there that buys 10 cap. And as this goes down, that number goes up. There are people that will buy 6 and 8 cap rental properties. So I'm just saying, I like your 14. I like, that's a great little return, but I think 12 should be on the board too, at up closer to 50. Anyway, you know, you'll figure that out through conversation with buyers.
Okay. So, I mean, well, how would I approach that? Because, I mean, tell people I have a 12 cap and see if I have anything. And then I just say, well, I reduce the price. I mean,
yeah, got a 12 and make them talk you off 52.5, knowing that you have 10 grand to play with in room for sure. And you can open the conversation that way. And once you're under contract, you can say, hey, I've got a contract for sale on a 12 cap rental, and put that stuff in there. 7-year Section 8 tenant, $750 a month, and just market it as a 12. That way, when they call you, that's what they're expecting. Here are the numbers. Hmm. So.
Okay.
Yep. And then outbound, too. Yeah, go ahead.
A couple other questions. This far along on getting fun, looking at the buyer side of it. On my finally figured out how to convert to a property. Where is the notes and where do I put all this stuff for the buyer? Because I have the source and then it says and then an appointment scheduled and all that other stuff down further.
Put all what
where do
stuff
I put all
the
buyer information? Like
I store it in the buyer tab.
You don't put it in the property itself.
Well, you can associate buyers to a property when somebody tells you they're interested. But as far as just group of buyers in FreedomSoft, I put all their info in the buyers tab. But if you want to, you can go into the notes section of that lead record and say, you know, spoke to Tom today, very interested, wants inspection. So there really isn't a right or way, wrong way to use FreedomSoft. It's just it's a tool that manages information for you. So however you want it to do that, but that's how I do it. I keep buyers in the buyer tab and then either jot a quick note or associate that buyer with those little silhouettes. You can tie a buyer to that lead record. I usually do that once the buyers have been identified and they are the buyer
right
of place. Then I tie them together. Not until then. Until then, I just do it off notes.
Then.
Yep.
Well, you just do it off of notes. Like,
yep. In the lead record.
Paper notes?
No, the notes section in the lead record. Or you can do custom notes fields with it. And you can put, buyer notes if you want, and just put a separate buyer notes section for to keep track of who you talked to on what date, what your conversation was, maybe gauge their interest level. So,
yeah,
Tom,
you do
whatever works with you. If you want to do paper and pen, because that's easier and less to figure out and get this thing sold, just do that. It's all, if you interviewed 500 FreedomSoft users, you'd get almost 500 different answers on how people use it, where they put stuff.
Right.
So it's just a tool that holds and organizes data. I mean, it does a lot more than that, but in this sense, that's what you're using it for. So no right or wrong answer.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So one more question.
Yep.
What do we use? What contract do we use for the buyer?
Depends. Are you going to sign it or double close it? If you're going to sign it, then just use an assignment contract. And there's one in FreedomSoft. You can just grab them online too if you Google for them. They're nothing rocket science, an assignment. So how do you plan to close it? If you're going to double close it, you can use the same contract that you sent the seller. Here's how we would
do
it, though. You're going to make some changes. When I go to a seller, I've got a 20 to 30-day inspection period, $10 down for consideration. Sometimes we do $100 down as our earnest money, that kind of thing. When I go to the buyer, earnest money's hard the day we get it. Earnest money's probably $1,500. You know what I mean? Those terms change, but you can use the same contract if you're double closing. Yeah, if it's assignment, then it's just assignment paperwork, an assignment of contract. That's it.
Okay.
And the assignment will say, right, I mean, you'll be talking to them and say, your price is $52.5. Whoa, I've got it at 40. I was looking out a window and almost just saw a car accident. That's all that was. And so the assignment will say, you know, the difference. It'll be the assignment fee, whether that's $5,000, $10,000, $12,500, whatever. And then what that does is that puts the end buyer in your position on your contract with the seller for that fee, right? That's what an assignment does. They get to take your place on your contract to buy for that price. And so that stuff goes over to title. The contract
that's
with the seller.
That's the assignment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the cleaner way, obviously. But if you feel like you need to double close it or want to double close it or have to double close it, then same contract, different terms.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All right. I had another question, but I can't remember what it is now. So, all right. So, marketing this thing, I don't have that many buyers that I know of in that zip code yet.
You can buy buyers in any zip code, and you should be talking to every current landlord on GoSection8.com in that zip code, around that zip code, anywhere in Pittsburgh. Every landlord on in Craigslist that has a current property for rent. I mean, that's what I was explaining to you the other day. Set up a campaign for it, a buyer campaign.
Right.
Tie a phone number to it. Copy and paste the phone number and just put, hey, I found your rental ad on GoSection8.com. I've got a Section 8 rental for sale in this zip code. Are you interested? Are you still buying? Something like that, and just pound them out. People get back to you. Talk to the ones who are interested.
So where are the communications for this would be under obviously communications tab, right? Emails, faxes,
yes.
Voicemail.
So just watch. Yep, that's where they're going to come in. But go to the Classroom and FreedomSoft, the very middle series of videos in the top section. It's called Built-in SMS Text and Voicemail System. And watch, that'll show you the whole thing, how to grab a number, how to edit the number, how to tie it to a campaign, and then video number four is how to use it to generate leads.
Yeah, I did that. I got one, but in my paper notes, I have a buyer, but I don't have any information about her, and I don't know where.
Did you talk to her? Or you lost the note?
I lost the note.
I'll tell you about that one, Captain.
I know. I have her name, but I don't have anything else about her. I thought I put it in FreedomSoft, but I have a running conversation with this other buyer on when we look at the SMS. You can, you know, it's like you can see the whole thing. You ask questions,
so
I answer them, et cetera.
Do but this, and it'll be even easier. Don't use FreedomSoft. You have a live one on the line. Text people from your phone and say, hey, are you buying? I have a Section 8 rental for sale. And if they say yes, you can have a conversation with them. Just jot down their stuff on paper. Don't lose it, and we'll get it into FreedomSoft later. But let's not don't take now and go into let's try and figure out tech mode. You've got a live one. So do what you know you can do and not that you don't have to learn something right now.
Okay.
Let's learn if and when there's a little downtime, not when you have fish on the line. So, good stuff, Tom. Make it happen. Sell it by Christmas.
Thanks.
Oh, wait, we're not having a call on Monday because it's Christmas. Hey, we'll most likely do Tuesday, Thursday next week for calls. So I'll get an email out tomorrow. But Larry, I think you were next. Larry Allen. Larry, you still on? Guess not. All right, who else? Updates and questions.
What's up, Mike? It's Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah, as far as updates, I don't even know where to start. I know I emailed you about the absentee list.
Yeah, and I didn't.
I
said if you want to go through what you bought, the thing that triggers absentees. So, just to catch everybody up, Ryan bought an absentee list from ListSource, and then he went to Public Records to verify a couple of them. Just I think out of curiosity, and a few of the addresses matched. The tax mailing address matched the property address. So, I don't know how ListSource sources their data, but my guess is the trigger for absentee would be when those two don't line up. So,
right.
You know, if we need to go click for click through what you did in ListSource, you know, like I said in the email reply, I'm happy to do that because that seems like an odd result.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, and it really was out of curiosity, Mike. I was just like, let me just check a couple of these. But
yeah.
I actually got a workaround around it. I got my I actually I shot a video last night showing my my VA how to cross reference it using the county website.
Okay.
So it's something that's super easy. All he has to do is I have the how I uploaded them into FreedomSoft. I had them where the property address shows up in the notes. So I just have them copying that real quick, throwing it into the county website, and he's
just
able
verifying.
To cross-reference it. Yeah, and I shot him a video and showed him how to do it, and he got back with me this morning and said it was pretty easy. So he said he's gonna you know go through them that way. So he said he had no problem at all doing it. So
hey,
if
you find a bunch of them, send a support ticket into ListSource. It's kind of a clunky website to use, but you know, what I've heard is people have had a decent response rate. We've had a few students go in and say, hey, this doesn't seem right. But you can tell them that exact thing. Hey, I bought an absentee owner list. Here it is. And they can go back on their end, from what I remember, and see exactly the list you bought. And they may have some insight. I mean, I've even had them, you know, they said, oh, here was your intent, or you forgot this. You know, hey, we'll, you know, let me just add it to it real quick. I'll send you the list. We won't even charge you. But they've actually been pretty cool with a few of our students on fixing and stuff like that. So if you come across too many, definitely ask them, because they will be able to see the exact parameters tied to your list that you pulled.
Okay.
So,
Cool.
Plan
cool.
B.
Yep. So. Yeah, but I told them to monitor, and I told them if it gets too crazy to let me know. But he said it's been fine so far. So other than that, in my remote market, I've just been trying to get some consistent bird dogs. I had one person start and she brought in about 27 leads.
Yep.
But then she hasn't been really getting back out. I tried to incentivize, you know, with a bonus and everything like that. But I have some other people that I'm talking to. So I'm going to just, you know, switch them out and just try to keep it moving.
Switch them out.
I'm not going to let the whole
lot. Here's the other thing, too. Between now and New Year's, pretty challenging
to get a hold
of people, right? So,
right, yeah.
I mean, if somebody's not going to work for you, they're not going to work, but I'm just saying you may have to cut a little more slack now than you typically would.
Hit it
a
little bit harder after
the
holiday.
So.
Right.
Tell you what,
though. Yeah, I thought about that, too.
What will happen is, I mean, you're going to find people who are running up some debt this time of year, and so for them to get out and to make some quick, easy money, you know, maybe even next week, but after the first of the year, I would think that, you know, that you'd have a pretty easy time finding one or two folks, so.
Right.
But,
yeah
it is
a unique two weeks.
I'm
keeping it moving.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm keeping it moving. I'm not getting down on it or anything. I'm still having people contacting me off the post, so there's no problem.
Yeah, that's...
I don't doubt I'll find anybody, so.
That's the other part of it. If you want to keep your foot on the gas, which I recommend, and you have time to, somebody out there, they're willing. Somebody will go drive. Just got to talk to enough people.
Yeah, I get inquiries every day, so I don't think I have a problem at all.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
So other than that, I'm talking to two guys tonight for my phone salesperson. I actually got a couple of guys. I talked to them over email, and then I sent them the disc test, and they actually came back as high D's.
Nice.
So I'm gonna talk to them tonight and kind of get a feel for them and see what's going on.
Yep.
And see what's going on that end. So I'm really just trying to beat the pavement and get things done and get things ready in the remote market. Like you said, it is a little challenging because it's this time of the year, but. I think things will open back up, like you said, once the holiday season.
Yeah, they absolutely will. Yep.
Yeah,
they absolutely will. And here's the thing is, you're talking to bird dogs, you're talking to salespeople. I mean, somebody's looking if you're willing to look for them. You know what I mean?
Yep. And that's how I'm looking at it. So
this is a great time of year to be active.
I
like to be active around this season. You know, it's just a lot of people just kind of check out. You know, starting around December 15th, and they don't get back to work until January 15th. So, you know, you build a lot of momentum right now.
Yeah, because it's kind of been weird. I've been actually getting a lot of seller leads here in my own home market. I've been getting, like, for mail, I sent probably a month or two ago. People have been calling me, and so I got some new calls I got to follow up with. So other than that, I've just been trying to other than that, I've been just trying to I've been talking to just making some lists of some buyers and stuff like that. Just trying to contact some of those guys and just get that started on that end. I do have a few deals going here in my own backyard. I got one, like I said, I got one on a non-exclusive contract, and then I got two two that's pending contract, and then I got one that I'm waiting on for to accept an offer. So I'm just trying. I'm just trying to finish out strong. All of those probably are looking to close probably in January. That's what I'm aiming for. So, it's working out really well. I should start the year off with a pretty big bang if everything works out.
I hope so.
I'll have one closing like every week in January if everything works out well. So what I've really been focusing on is just beating the pavement, just trying to talk to as many buyers that I can. So I haven't had a whole lot of time with me working full time. So what I've been doing is kind of making a list, and then Saturday morning I have to show one of the properties to a buyer. And then after that, I'm gonna just, you know, get on the phone and hit it really hard and try to talk to as many buyers as I can to, you know, get these properties lined up. So
these sales guys are going to be key, guys or gals, because, you know, this is about leverage. Obviously, you know, the Bird Dogs are leverage. VA is leverage on the skip trace. Get somebody on the phone. There's leverage there. You know, let's get all that moving here next couple weeks. I know, right, take time with the family and all that good stuff, but. You know, if you get some of that stuff in play, and then you've got a few existing deals, try and get those wrapped up, and then in the meantime, you'll have a bunch of leads coming in and your sales team on the phone in the remote market. So,
That's what I've been focusing on. I've been just focused on trying to bring the leads in the remote market and talk to as many buyers as I can so I can, when I, you know, officially get all these properties under contract, I can go ahead and just get rid of them pretty quickly.
Love it.
I have some of my own buyers that's on the line that, you know, I know it's interested. They said they're interested, but I haven't been able to tell them much about it because I'm still waiting to get the contract back. And I had a question regarding that. I have.
Yeah.
So for the one I have under a non-exclusive agreement,
yep.
the guy that I have it with, he's actually I'm working with. His son has power of attorney, but his son is out of the country for like the next month.
Okay.
Month and a half. If I get an offer, a solid offer from a buyer, what's the best way to approach that to get the paperwork done? I mean, I'm gonna try my best to get in touch with the son, but he said he'll be checking his phone, but he said it's gonna be kind of hard to get in touch with him because he's out of the country. So.
Right. Yeah. So, is the father not able to sign physically?
I talked to him, and I think he can.
Okay. Power of attorney.
I'll probably just have to snail mail it to him.
So power of attorney just means the son can sign on his behalf, but unless there's a medical reason or physical limitation that the father – if the father can sign, then you don't need the son's power of attorney.
Right, yeah, I've been talking to him, and he sounds pretty alert and stuff like that, but
okay.
You know, his son says he's an older guy, so he doesn't remember everything, but he's a really sound guy. I've talked to him like two or three times, and he's pretty sound if you ask me. You know, he's not like out of it or anything like that.
So it sounds like maybe the negotiation goes through the son, but if things are agreed to, then you can get paperwork over, you know, he can give his dad the okay or something like that.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was thinking about it too, that way. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work on it. Like I said, I got a buyer that's coming to check out the property Saturday morning. So I'll see what he's talking about and kind of go from there. So
that's kind of
where I'm at right now.
Okay, cool. Good update. Yeah, stay on it with the new market and, you know, good stuff. You've got a lot moving, especially with having a full-time job. So nice job.
Yep.
Good stuff. Who else?
All right, I'll jump in. So this is Mike Jure.
Hey, Mike.
So I've been struggling with getting the Bird Dogs. I've been getting plenty of responses and plenty of people that say they're going to go to work and they go out and get started, do two houses, and then they disappear. So then just
why are they disappearing?
I don't know. I can't, like, try to get back in touch with them and say, hey, how's it going? Is there, you have any questions? Is there something I can help you with? And
yeah.
Sometimes they just don't respond back. I'm not getting anything coming in. So I keep trying to plug more people into those spots, and people seem like they're willing to go out and to get all excited, and then
yeah.
they're just not falling through. So
are these zip codes with where the vacants are few and far between, or do you have some distressed housing?
They're in, you know, in the areas where it looked like they should be pretty condensed.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
Did you map you map the data right from ListSource?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Yes,
okay,
you've got activity.
Got
them in the hot spot.
So you know,
yeah.
So you know the buyers are there. Jump into Google
yeah.
Maps into one of those areas and just click around and go up and down a few streets.
Yeah.
So buyer activity doesn't always mean that there are vacants.
Okay.
But if the price point's down, it typically does. If you've got low price point and investor activity, the other thing too is go to GoSection8.com, type in your city, and just take note of repeat zip codes, because you can just click through the properties and see if those line up. But yeah, it sounds like without much feedback from your bird dogs, hard to troubleshoot what's going on. So you're doing the right thing. I mean, if somebody goes MIA, ask them why. Say what's going on. And then yeah, I'm telling you what, at this point, Rob's been coaching on this process. He's told a lot of people, hey, go hire bird dogs. Some people, I swear, you know, honestly, they come out of the gate, they talk to one person, and they go nuts. And other people talk to 25, and they're like, what is the problem? Why can't I get a bird dog to go? And there is no rhyme or reason to it. There really isn't. So it sounds like you've been able to get them started.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask, what are you saying? But that's not the issue. They're getting started and not staying.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They're all pumped up and ready to go. Start bringing in leads. So it's not, I don't think there's any complication with conversations or communication. I'm just not sure. So I get some kind of feedback. If they're just driving, they drive, you know, through a neighborhood and there's one or two houses and they're like, well, this is a waste of my time. And they just, you know, move on. So another thing is, should I also start getting another city going? I know this is my first one. It's just,
not yet.
I'm really chomping at the bit to,
I know
to
you
get
are.
Some leads coming in. So, you know, I guess.
I know you are. Stick with it. Stick with it. And I like to say, let's go a little bit slower now so you can go fast for as long as you call yourself an investor. If you get dialed on the process and how it all works and comes together and you know it, then it'll just make you more efficient moving forward. So not yet. I love your enthusiasm, just not yet.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's get this dialed. I want you at 250 leads.
Okay.
Vacant leads, in-house, and skip trace.
Okay.
And we're not even going to consider market two until that is in place. And you probably, to go to markets, you want a full-time salesperson on board as well. So, yeah, I want your leads and systems established in market one so that you can plug market two in very easily. So,
I'll just keep changing my strategy and just
keep talking to people.
Keep
talking to people.
Yep.
You'll find somebody sooner or later. You'll find somebody that's just willing to communicate. We'll get back to you. Thinks this is a great setup, right? You just got to find a good fit. That's all.
Okay.
And sometimes you'll go through 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 to get there. Just depends.
I've been having them download the Home Snap app for just so they can do it a little more efficiently. And seems like some of the people with Android phones are having some difficulty with it. It's pulling up like a Google.
Yeah, I don't have them use it. I have them download it and say, hey, if you come up to a vacant house and a few of the numbers or all of the numbers are missing, use this free Home Snap app, and it'll help you figure out what the address is. Other than that, take a photo, email it over, put the address in the subject line, click send, go to the next one. That's it.
Okay.
Keep it as simple as possible. Simple systems duplicate. That's all there is to it. So keep the complexity out of it.
Okay.
That's my recommendation. And just like you said, Home Snap and Android don't play well together. So instead of wasting time trying to figure all that out, just have them email the photo.
Okay, that'll work.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I'm just going to keep changing some of the wording and stuff and some of the ads and keep communicating a few different things with them, and I'll get this, get these 250 in as soon as possible.
Yep, good stuff. Yeah, it's a race to 250, so stay on it.
Okay.
Hey, Ryan was talking about he's having buyer conversations. I want to make sure that everybody, and I know this is on the buyer script, but you've got to be asking your buyers, especially this time of year, hey, how many did you end up buying in 2017, just out of curiosity, right? So just say it in conversation, but you want to know who on your buyer's list bought 2 and who bought 20 plus, right? And I'll tell you what happened is I bumped into a buyer and I'm chatting with him and we're having a conversation and I said, you know, how busy are you? How many are you going to buy this year? He said, we're going to buy 160 houses this year. Game on. Right? Nobody makes up a number and says they bought 160 this year. 160 houses, 15 some odd a month, whatever that math is, right? So he's in St. Louis, and my business partner, Paul, his wife has family in St. Louis, so he's flying out there. And, right, what do you think I'm thinking in my head? I was like, I got to get these two guys together. We got to put a face with a guy, with a buyer that's buying 160 houses. Now, some of you will end up flying to your remote markets. Others of you won't. I'm just saying, this is the kind of person that I want a conversation with. I want, right? This just so happened that, you know, Paul's going to be there. He's there today. He flew in this morning for the next couple of days. And so he's getting a hold of this guy so they can grab lunch or grab a beer, whatever. But that single buyer, right, we'll figure out what he wants, what his flavor is, where he likes to buy. And this is a guy that's teeing up 15 a month. I mean, we could, right? We'll make a ton of money in 2018 just selling to that guy. 15 a month. So every buyer is valuable, right? If somebody's willing to close and it's their first investment property, I'm going to sell it to them, game on. But I'm just saying, I want to know, I'm calling that guy, asking him questions. I'm picking his brain about, what's the local perception about this? How do you do this? How do you run your numbers here? How do you do that? I'm always on his ear. And I'm telling him the first time I talked to him, I said, man, I'm going to tee up some houses and bring them to you first. We're going to cement this relationship. And he's like, okay. And I don't know if anybody's ever told him that before, but then I'm calling him back. And I said, hey, I've got two that are coming. Here's the zip code. You know, here's what's going on. We're just trying to get through a couple title issues. This, that, and the other. Now, right, Paul was going to be in town, meeting face-to-face, having lunch. But these are the buyers that you're looking for. Somebody that's closing 15 deals a month, has access to, I don't care if it's private money, wherever it's coming from, it's working, right? The money's there. 160 houses this year that they bought. So I'm just telling you, you're always looking for that VIP buyers list, right? You have got to be intelligent about, okay, I have 100 people on my buyers list, but these five get the first phone call from me, right? Those are the ones that you're making money on. Let people earn their way in. I met a guy one time at a real estate event a couple years back, and he went out to his buyers list, and he said, you know, they knew he was serious, and he said, I'm going to sell 5 VIP spots for the next 12 months. It's going to be $1,000 a piece. And you can be on my VIP list for the next 12 months. And what that means is every deal that I get tied up, and he had some street credibility, right? He had some cred with this group. He said they're going to my VIP buyers first. And if and only if those 5 say no, then the rest of you can see it. And he sold 5 spots for $1,000 like that. And that he's done it ever since. And, you know, you want back on the list? Now I think he gives those 5 priority. You want to be on the list the next 12 months? $1,000. I think he could sell it for more than that, but that's what he was doing. Every deal goes to that list. And I was asking him, I said, how effective is it? He goes, I can't tell you the last time one of those 5 didn't buy it, didn't take the deal, and it went to everybody else. And that's what he's looking for. He's looking for the five that bought 160 in the last 12 months. And right, it's not always 160, but five serious buyers. Anyway, make sure you are asking. And it's right, it's always an easy conversation, but this time of year when the calendar's about to roll over, you know, hey, you know, sounds like you've been buying there for a while. How many, just out of curiosity, how many did you take down in 2017? Got to know that number. Keep notes on it. Always building that VIP buyers list, the go-to group, because it's going to be a much smaller percentage. I mean, you'll have, 500, 600 people on a buyer's list to find that 10. That 10 that are serious and are always looking and always buying. So, anyway, who else?
Maybe I missed something. How do you get to that point in the conversation with these people? How do you find those buyers?
What point?
Where are you, you know, how do you get the street cred to start saying, you know,
just go do what you're doing. Build your buyer's list. Yeah, you guys aren't going to come right out of the gate, have three buyers on your list, and say, hey, I'm selling VIP seats for the next 12 months for
right.
a grand.
Of course.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's down the road. I'm just saying that's the group of five, and I'd never heard anybody else sell VIP seats like that. I thought that was pretty clever in a way to, you know, buy yourself a new watch if you wanted one, you know, collect $5,000 and whatever. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty smart. That he did it, and he saw a place to make some money. I love it. Sell a seat on your VIP list. Rob just always did it. He's never charged for it. He just always did it through email, and he would just send out a broadcast email to his entire list that says, you know, I've got two seats open on my VIP buyers list. This group gets they see all the properties first. They get first crack at them. You know, if you have money to spend in the next 30 days, shoot me a reply email and let's get you on there. And what he was doing is just a creative way to get people to raise their hand and say, I've got money to spend. You know, you could even go in an email like that and say, if you want in, shoot me a reply that says, you know, yes, Rob, put me on your buyer's list and I've got X amount to spend in the next 30 days. Now you're having them put a number to it. And you can pick out the ones who say, you know, what do they have, $15,000 to spend in the next 30 days, or do they have $500,000? So just always sorting, right? Sorting through that list. And the way you can do it right up front is, you know, I asked this guy, you know, how active are you? How many deals do you buy this year? He said, we're going to do 160. Wow, okay. This guy I want to talk to. His number is in my cell phone, not just FreedomSoft, right? That's where I want his number. So make sure you're asking that question. Who else?
Hey, Rob, this is Dennis.
Hey, Dennis, it's Mike, but you can call me Rob if you want.
Mike. All right, hey, Mike. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries.
I got my... I got my bird dog out in Louisville working.
Yep.
I got my first 44 in, and he got paid for that, so that he got real excited, ready to get back out there. One of the questions I had is, I have like four bird dogs, but the first guy I talked to is the one who brought in all the leads. I put three more in different zip codes.
Yep.
And I didn't, it's actually two more. I got two more in different zip codes. I hadn't written anything back yet, but I was kind of, but I should reach back out before I hire someone else. And that was my question. Cause I didn't want to, cause like you said, you get a bunch of inquiries from my ad.
Yeah.
I figured out the reason why my ad wasn't posting because you got to pay for it. So I hopped that fence. And,
yeah,
I don't want to, you know, all of a sudden hire four more people, then I get 3,000 names that I'm not ready to, you know.
Yep.
Yeah,
here's
so.
What I did, right? And as owner, you've got to be keeping a pulse on speed. How many leads are coming in? Is it not enough? Is it just right? Is it too much, too many to handle? What, right? Here's what I did. I had a couple in both markets. I've done this a few times. And I identified the one person that I thought was easiest to work with, had some other skills, right? One gal that's been generating leads for me. She's done fix and flips with her dad. She's done some project management. So she's got some other skills that we can tap into. So I called her up one day and said, hey, listen, here's how many leads we're trying to bring in on a weekly basis. I have a few other people hired, but I like your skill set. If you can tell me that, right, that you're available to carve out some time to do some driving and bring in X number a week, I won't give them any more work. Can you commit to that to me? And she said, yeah. And I did that with another guy as well. He had some construction background. So I can send him to a property, have him put, you know, kind of a construction eye on it while he's taking pictures for like an inspection, so I can see what the inside looks like. And he can give me, he can give me an opinion on it with some construction background. So I let the other two go, and I had the same conversation. I'm like, hey, here's what I need on a weekly basis. Can you make this happen? If so, all the money for these leads is yours, and I'll pull the ad off Craigslist. So that's what I did. So if you have one person right now that likes doing it, is willing to do it, has time every week to do it, and can hit whatever your weekly goal, right, or your weekly lead number is right now, I think you have that conversation. And if you need to, pull the ad.
Okay.
Hang on to some of those names. But okay. Yeah, if you've got somebody that knows the system and is willing to go and has time, you don't have to keep interviewing people if you don't want. So, because one person and a VA on board, a person that can give you, you know, drive 2 or 3 days a week, you know, just for a couple hours at a time, they can stay ahead of of a person on the phone, whether that's you or a salesperson. So.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. And I know you were saying something about the season, so I didn't want, you know, one of the people work for a or used to work for like a foreclosure house, so they see a lot of board. They know what I'm looking for, and the other person is has construction background. So yeah, those are two people that I'm working with. But
I like it. And if you end up hanging on the two, that's fine. I just tell them up front. You know, they chime in, and I say, you know, this is a part-time gig. Are you looking for something full-time? Or is part-time what you're after? And if they want full-time, I tell them that this isn't a good fit, right? This is going to be an as-needed. And we got to the point where I had to put Bird Dogs on hold for a minute. You know, I shot them a text and said, you know, hey, cool off. I've got 800 right now that don't have phone calls on them because, you know, they were just killing it. And so I told them, I need you to chill out for a bit. Let us get caught up. So, I just told them, but you drive that. You're the owners. You drive what the business needs. You know, don't cut somebody loose and have them bring in 1,000 if you don't have $3,000 sitting in the marketing budget to take care of it. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Yeah, you just tell them. If you need to put a number on it, that's fine. You just got to drive that ship. So.
Okay. All right. The other question I had was, you was talking earlier about tenant questions. Like I have a couple of properties in my local market that I have under contract, and I was getting buyers in, but one of them, the tenant, the owner, the seller doesn't want to alarm the tenant, basically. How do you handle those?
I mean, if they're telling you they want to sell, but they're not willing to let the tenant know, well, that's not going to work. I mean, you want somebody to buy a property sight unseen? Ask them. Would you go buy a house sight unseen?
You know? Oh, they don't. They will take my people inside and give them the tour. But
who will?
That's it, the seller.
Well, what do you mean? That's it? That's what you want? You want buyers inside?
Right, right. Yeah. So they will do it. So that's not a problem. I mean, I'm not, because once the buy or purchase the property, they can handle things the way they want. But
right.
I'm getting them in, I'm getting the pictures taken, that's not really a concern that I should have.
Okay, I thought you were saying that was the problem. I must not have been following your question.
Yeah, I was wondering, was it a problem that they didn't, I mean, I guess I answered my own question because the buyer and the seller are getting in, getting the pictures. I'm getting everything evaluated. So
okay.
Dealing with the tenant really isn't an issue of mine. So I guess I answered my own question.
Yeah. And the tenant, I mean, they've got to let people in. I'm assuming that's in the lease agreement. You know, it'd be crazy to have a lease agreement that doesn't allow you in for different reasons as the owner. So
right, and all these tenants are month to month, so it's not
right.
Okay.
Yep, that's smart.
All right.
Yeah,
all right. So everything is going through fine.
Side note: if you ever go down the rental road, Rob and Brad they always do month to month leases. Always, always, always. And they really sell it as a benefit to both parties, right? They want it in place in case they need to get rid of somebody, but it can be presented as a benefit that says, listen, job transfer, whatever, life happens and you want out, now you don't have to worry about all that stuff. Just give me a 30-day notice. So just if you were ever wondering how do they, you know, when they do a buy and hold, how do they do it? Always, always month to month, never long-term lease. Side note. So, yeah, good stuff, Dennis.
Yeah.
Making all this happen from halfway around the world, which is cool.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I've been on line with my buyers, so I'm.
Yep.
You know, hopefully next week I should be having my leads come back. Skip trace come back.
I was just going to ask, do you have a VA lined up for that?
Yeah, I already got them. They're processing them right now, so
beautiful.
I should get those back actually tomorrow, and I'm going to start calling.
Okay, so you're going to start off on the phone. Are you going to stay on the phone, or are you going to bring in somebody, salesperson?
I want to bring in a salesperson. I was trying to hit the 300-400 leads before I grab a salesperson. So
let me.
That's why.
Have you taken the free disc test yet?
No.
Okay, take it. And I'm telling
okay.
you, if you're not high D, and I
mm-hmm.
from talking to you, there's a chance you are. I don't know, right? There is no right or wrong. There's no right or wrong answer here, but if you're not, I'm telling you. Get through a couple calls so you can train on it and get somebody on the phone that is. That's my suggestion. It's it's not magic. It's just the expected outcome happens when you put the right personality on with these leads. And you just want
okay.
a sales mentality on the phone. You just do. People who aren't, they get up to the first little spot of resistance and they say, oh, okay, you know, thanks for chatting. Hope you have a great day. Merry Christmas. Yada, yada, yada. And a sales personality and a salesperson will keep digging. They'll make them tell them no multiple times before they quit trying. Keep asking good questions. And it's a, right, it's a skill. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Okay.
You get a good sales personalities. And I'm telling you, salespeople are looking for good positions where they can call good leads, where the percentages are strong on expensive sales. I mean, these are 7 to kind of what's routine on the low end, 5, 6, 7 grand on wholesale and real estate. So this is you guys bring a unique opportunity to the sales community. So don't sell that short. Anyway, that's where I would start.
Okay.
See how you're
right.
wired. And I'll tell you what, do this. Take it here. It won't take you long. You can just Google search free disc test. Take it and then send it into the coaching email. Attach it and send it over. Let me take a look and I'll have some more input for you.
All right. Will do.
Cool. Who else? Telling you, if you have not taken a disc test, that's for everybody. You have to take it. You've got to know how you're wired.
This is Larry Potts. I need to check is Janie, are you on? Check and see if my wife, she's in a different town right now. So,
okay.
You know, making sure she's
I'm here.
This is Randy.
Hi, Randy.
Hi, Janie. Randy.
Yeah, Larry, go ahead.
No, I'm passing to Janie. She come on.
Oh, okay.
I don't have anything to ask.
You don't have any questions?
No.
Okay. That's good. We've a little recap. I think how many we have? Six bird dogs
going
on right now?
How many leads do you have that have come in vacants? How many are skip traced?
Okay. Well, we're in the initial part of getting leads in. Janie, tell how many?
How many
from whom?
We have...
I don't care from whom. I just want a number.
I think 15 or 16.
Okay.
We've had some buck in the road training one of the bird dogs to send a picture, send an address, but not necessarily together, which is a challenge.
Yeah, you'd think that that shouldn't be too hard.
But
I'm not going to make any assumptions and ask their age. But I'm telling you, if you're stuck on the technology, hire somebody that lives on their phone, right?
Yeah, Janie and me, we're debating this particular person. I feel very positive about where he's at. She's getting frustrated because she's the one that's got to train. But he's in an area.
Here's the thing. If you only have 16 leads in the door, we shouldn't be very positive about any of them unless they've just been driving for 20 minutes.
We're talking about a day, really, a day actually working.
Well, 2 days now.
Okay.
So the one that I'm having trouble with, he's the one that has brought in all but one lead. He's brought in like 15 leads, and I think one other person has brought in one lead.
Okay. But you have six driving. Is that what I heard you say, Larry?
Well,
yeah.
Six are hired. It's been, like I said, a day or two getting them ready for them to get going. Christmas,
yeah.
All that kind of stuff. And
I
understand
it.
It'll shake loose. Our ad's still coming in, and we're turning people down saying, hey, these positions are filled, but we want, if you would allow us to keep your name, in case some of these people don't make, so that, they feel positive that they just kicked to the curb. One person that sent in the lead, that's a difficulty. He's in an area of Tampa that I have a feel is going to be a resurgence area. That it's going to, the neighborhood's turning because the houses I see are really awful. But I also know the area around there that is getting to be a yuppie area.
Okay. Yeah, like those are good little spots. Typically, that's where the fix and flip investors want to buy a lot of times.
Okay,
and the buy and hold. So. All right, so we've got to have a chat with 1, 2, 3, 4, or whatever, and we've got to say, tell them here's what we need, pay them for the 15 that have come in. Say we're serious. Can you get me 50 tomorrow? Can you get me 40 tomorrow? Can you get whatever that number is, so you can get those off to the skip tracer? And I get it. We're gonna have this is kind of a challenging couple days, but somebody could go put in 3 or 4 hours for you tomorrow. And buy their significant other a Christmas present. I mean, it can all happen that fast, right? Because they send leads over, and we go into PayPal and send them the money. So let's see if this person, hey, we appreciate what you've done, but let's put some numbers on this thing. You've got to be asking how many hours. Hey, I appreciate the 15. How many hours can you drive for me tomorrow? What's your schedule? Right, and always be driving that forward. And this for me, this is natural for the high D's on the lines. You're always driving. You're always pushing to the next result. If you're not wired like that, it's not as easy to do. So you have to put on your high D hat from time to time and just say, I appreciate what you did today. What are you going to do for me tomorrow? How many hours can you give me? We've got to be at X number of leads and always, what's in it for them? Hey, here's the thing. I've got $150 sitting here waiting to send over. Can you get me 50 leads tomorrow? What does your schedule look like? Can you get me 75? I had a guy bring in 85 one day. He told me he drove for 4 hours. I remember doing the math and thinking that's a heck of an hourly wage. Right?
Yep, not bad.
So, yep. I mean, it's there.
Janie, are you a part D?
No, I'm a high C.
Okay, Larry, what are you? Are you the driver?
I don't know. If I've got a slot position to get in that position, I can do that. Done it before.
Which one of you can pretend to be high D for long enough to light a fire under somebody? If one of you, I mean, the training here really isn't much. It's really about drive up to a house that looks boarded up, you know, 12-inch grass in the front yard, blacked out windows, no signs of life, snap a photo of it, email that photo, how many steps here? This is like 3 steps. Take a picture, type the address in the subject line, and click send. And you just have to make sure that they have that unique email address tied to your FreedomSoft campaign saved in their smartphone. I tell them right there when we're on the phone, I say, I'm gonna email you this funny-looking email address. Copy and paste it and save a new contact record in your phone called Vacant Houses. You're just going to send that picture to Vacant Houses. And then we do a practice one. I say, and they're on the phone, take a picture of the floor right now. Great. Email it over to your Vacant Houses contact in your phone, and I'm going to stay on with you until it shows up, and we're going to make sure that we're connected. Bam. And then I go into PayPal and say, what's your PayPal email? Boom, and pay them $3. And I was like, see how easy this is? Now you're just going to go drive and find Vacant Houses and do the same thing. So it really is just that simple. I mean, if somebody's having – I'm trying to figure out how they're having an issue with that training. It's got to be very clear on what to do. And if somebody can't get that, they're not your person.
Okay. I just got a jewel from just then, to get them sent a picture of the floor and get the money in the hand. Absolutely motivates everybody. Thank you.
Yeah. Bam. You know, hey, I just got the photo. What's the email tied to your PayPal account? Great. I'm going to send out whatever. One guy sent $10. I was like, hey, man, we're connected. I'm going to send you 10 on this first one.
Yeah.
Send it. So.
Understand.
Yeah,
understand.
That's it. And whoever, whichever one of you, and it does, right, we're not being rude to anybody. That's not the thing. But you've got to tell them, can you bring me 50 leads tomorrow, yes or no? I've got this money sitting here. I'm going to give it to somebody. I'd love to give it to you. You brought in 15 today. Can I get you some more tomorrow? Can you bring me 50 leads? And they're going to tell you yes or no. And if no, that's okay. But the business needs the leads, and so they either can provide what the business needs or they can't, in which case you send them out or you talk to somebody else. That's all there is to it, because what can happen here is we can lose weeks, a month and a half trying to get to 250 leads. And if you find somebody and be really intentional and set up a daily goal and say, great, how many hours can you drive for me tomorrow? Okay, here's what we're trying to hit. How many hours can you drive for me on Friday? Take the weekend off, hang out with your family, fantastic. Are you staying in town? What are you doing? Can you be back at it Tuesday next week? No, I'm out of town till Wednesday. Okay. I mean, this is how we've got to set this thing up. If we don't get intentional, we have to do it in the little things. We have to be intentional with the little stuff so that we remain intentional with the bigger stuff. So this is just for everybody. You've got to tell people
what
you need.
Is this better done voice or
text? They can bring it. What's that?
Would this be better done voice or text?
I always do it voice because then they hear how serious I am.
Okay.
I don't waste time thumbing back and forth. Somebody sends me a text, and here's the other thing. I want them to hear confidence in my voice that I'm going to pay, that this is for real, I'm for real, I'm going to walk them through that training, and we have somebody trained. We go start to done. The last gal I brought on, And it was like a 10 or 15 minute conversation, and she was out, brought in 40 leads that afternoon. Paid her that same day. She's been running with us since. So I always do voice, always.
Okay.
That's my preference. I want them to hear how serious I am about paying them. So that's how I do it. That first call, I go right from, hey, are you looking for full-time or part-time? Because this is a part-time gig. So if you're looking for full-time, I don't want to waste your time. Great. Here's all we're doing. We're a real estate company. I'm looking for vacant house leads. Vacant houses have boarded up windows, blah, blah, blah. I know where they're going to be, so I'm going to send you to different zip codes. And here's the job. You're going to pull up in front of it. You're going to snap a single photo. I'm going to give you an email address to send that photo to, and you're going to type the address of the property in the subject line. There's nothing more to it than that. I mean, you know, and I'll just joke with them. Have you ever heard of an easier job than this? So I pay $3 a lead, and I don't put that in the ad, in the Craigslist ad, right? I'm using just the one. You got to just pique interest with the ad, and then immediately after you say $3 a lead, you got to say, but it's very common for our field agents to make $30 plus an hour. Does it sound like something you're interested in? Great. Can you go drive for me today? Can you give me an hour? You know, what does your afternoon look like? Can you start today? Fantastic. I'm going to give you a zip code. Here's what we're going to do. And then I keep them on the phone. I go right into FreedomSoft, set up the campaign. I say, what's your email address? I'm going to send you this email. I make sure it arrives. I have them save it to their vacant house list, or save it to their phone, call it vacant houses. Bam, bam, bam. Hey, snap a picture of the floor. Send it into that email. Let's make sure our systems are connected. Bam, that comes in. I was like, great. What's your PayPal email? Perfect. I'm going to pay you $10 because I want you to know that we're serious. Bam, go pay them $10. Fantastic. Here's your zip code. And then I email them the link to whichever zip they're starting in. And it's game on. That's it. But I do that whole thing by phone. Because then it's only – then we just go through it, you know, in 15 minutes and they're out. Mm-hmm. Up and at them.
I just got a text. Just for information purposes, the area that one person was going in and every
yeah.
house was boarded up.
Yeah.
My oldest son, I just texted him, told him where it was at, and he's in Tampa area. He said,
yeah,
buy that area. That's where the new stadium is going.
Oh, man. massive anchor coming. And then, I mean, restaurants, shopping, developers, they're well aware of that stuff. I mean, stadiums will completely change that part of town.
Yeah.
No question. There'll be $750,000 loss there in the next 5 years.
Yeah. Atlanta's experiencing it behind the stadium. They just blew up, you know. They're buying $150,000 homes and tearing them down and buying two lots.
Here we go.
Love it, you know.
Yep. Good stuff. Good stuff. What else, you guys?
Danny, you got that? You know how to do it?
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
Be confident. Like, here's the thing. I'm not wired high D. I'm not. I'm opposite end of the spectrum. But when I'm on this conversation, I go high D mode. Have to. Just tell people what you need and just bluntly ask them, this is what I'm looking for. Is this something you can do or not? And it's yes or no, right? So
yep.
Wear those hats from time to time, get people going. And you really have to, whichever one of you, you know, talk this through, when you bring a salesperson on board and you are talking to a high D personality, whichever one of you can have the better conversation with that person, you have that conversation with the salesperson. Because you want to be just short and to the point. Here's what you'll be doing. The script is there. The leads are good. You know, just that's just how high D's work. They just want to know what's relevant, and they want to know what the expected result is, and when can I start? So, What else?
Well, I'm good. Janie just yanked my chain, so I got to get busy.
Yeah, let's. We got to ramp that number up, right? The sooner you get to 250 vacants, the better. So step on it. That's for everybody, not just you guys. If you're not there yet, step on it. There's no reason to go any kind of length of time without it. So I get it. There can be some frustration hiring bird dogs, and they're not doing this, that, and the other. Keep talking to people, right? You've got to put a big number 250 somewhere in your line of sight, and stay on it until you get that number and go beyond it. Because it's, you know, every orientation call, we go over the same thing. The base, the absolute base of the foundation that we're putting in place here is generating leads. If you don't have leads, you're not in business. It's as simple as that. You have to have leads. For as long as you call yourself real estate investors, you have to be generating leads. Where are the leads coming from this week? Where are they coming from today? Who's generating them? What are we doing with them? It all starts with lead gen, all of it. That's what triggers everything else to take place. So get really, really good and learn to be really, really consistent at getting leads in. That's the key. Rob learned it years ago. He was taught it by a coach, and he never let go of it. And it served him really, really well. He's always generating leads. Who else? All right. I'm going to assume we're good. Hey, everybody, good question. Stay on it. Stay on it. Also, take some downtime, right? Enjoy family and friends, whatever you do this time of year. You know, we want to work hard when we're at it and relax hard when we're at that, right? So you can kind of rejuvenate. But here's the thing, you know, it's kind of that everybody does it. We get to the end of the year. We kind of look back. What went well? What didn't go so good? You know, we've all heard about goals and this, that, and the other, but you know, they work. If we've got nothing we're aiming for, we'll hit it. We'll hit nothing. So whether it's I'm going to have X number of leads in the business by this date, or some of you are, you know, you're past that step, I'm going to have a salesperson on board by, I'm going to have, you know, X number of phone calls made by here. I'm going to have this many offers out. You know, it's just a great time of year to kind of think about where are we at, where are you at, where do you want to go? It's a great time to kick off 2018 with some big momentum, whatever that, right, whichever module or step or wherever you're at. So stay on it, all right? A lot of good stuff happening in the group here. So let's I'll send out an email tomorrow, but plan on Tuesday, Thursday next week for office hours here. Everybody have a great Christmas. Be safe. Any questions, obviously, between, you know, next couple days here, get them into the coaching email as usual. You likely will not get a reply on Sunday or Monday. So I'll be knee deep in three kids and family stuff, having a good time with the kiddos. So, yeah, everybody, great talking to you. Merry Christmas to everyone. If we don't talk
Merry
prior.
Merry Christmas
and, yeah, thank you. We'll plan on chatting Tuesday next week, okay?
Yeah,
Merry
All
Christmas, right. everyone.
All right, Merry good. Christmas, everybody. Take care.